One introductory thought I'd like to share with you is from 1 John chapter 1. I'm thinking of this when we are worshiping a few minutes ago in song. And coming very briefly, but just coming together. And we all have different places we come from. Maybe some of you are disappointed with yourself and you come to the church and you don't have a lot of assurance. It might be like this poem. Love bade me welcome, yet my soul drew back, guilty of dust and sin. But quick-eyed love, observing me, grow slack, like the love is watching me back off from my first entrance in, drew nearer to me, sweetly questioning if I lacked anything. A guest, I answered, worthy to be here. This is Old English, but it means I don't feel that I deserve to be here. Love said, you shall be he. I, the unkind, ungrateful. Ah, my dear, I cannot look on thee. Love took my hand and smiling did reply, who made the eyes but I? Truth, Lord, but I have marred them. I've looked at the wrong things. Let my shame go where it don't deserve. And know you not, says love, who bore the blame. My dear, then I will serve. You must sit down, says love, and taste my meat. So I did sit and eat. I like that poem because it reminds me of Song of Solomon when love was there, and I said in my heart, I am black but comely. I am common but comely. I am unworthy, but you love me. So how do we approach God but by faith? I remember being in Bible college and sometimes having discouraging times where I felt indifferent. But I would come into the class and pastor would lead us in prayer, worship. Sometimes he would say, raise your hands. And I didn't feel like raising my hands. But I understood that I'm going to just do it by faith. By faith, I am going to act in faith. I come to the church by faith, sometimes just by faith, I make a decision. Then I sing by faith. And then I believe that God is for me, not against me, because we live by faith. So much happens in your life when you learn to live by faith, because we do have these moods where we back off. We feel the dust and the guilt and the shame and the sin in my life. But I come by faith through the blood of Christ. It says this in 1 John 1, and I'll finish with this very important verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, I don't feel that, but I live by faith in it. And it's true. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Unknown unrighteousness and known unrighteousness, things I know about and things I don't know about, and I am cleansed. We are cleansed. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So, very simply, when you and I, and this is beautiful fellowship today, and when we come, it's a life of faith. None of us are worthy of it, but we come by faith, and we act in faith. We decide in our heart to trust him, and we are cleansed. We are free. We worship him, and we drink the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And that's in 1 Corinthians 12. Amen. So, Lord, we thank you for this love, your love for us today. We are acting in it, walking in it, believing you, that you love each and every person here. We drink of your Spirit, respond to your word, and trust you. Regardless of what happened on Friday or Saturday or last Monday or a year ago, we have brought it all to you. It's all forgiven. We're washed clean. We are free. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we have three parts to what I want to say today. First one is, many of you know Pastor Dan Sergioni, and remember the battle that he's had with COVID. How about it? How many know about it? We've been praying fervently for him, right? Love him. Do we love him? Love him. He got out of the hospital after how many days? 50 days, 60 days, huh? 55 days, yeah. So many times in this room, we talked about him and we asked for prayer. And many, Pastor Butch, Nick and Debbie, Kevin, many people have been involved to help. And his sister, Ann, who flew out from Denver. And we thought, I thought we lost him. I thought we lost him. I couldn't believe it. And I was saying, no, that cannot. Many of us, Pastor Shabelli, many of us, no, that cannot happen. Remember? We were fighting, and he was fighting. I don't know a tougher guy, but it was God. Saved his life. God saved his life, really. And he went into the hospital weighing 202 pounds. He came out weighing 157, and a lot of you are jealous about that. You wish in your dreams, but he's here this morning. Yeah, so here he is. Hallelujah! 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 The Lord did it! The Lord did it. Wow. Right, Pastor Dan? The Lord did it. Then you're a fighter. Then glory goes to God, really. Thank you, Lord. Wow. COVID is real. Yeah. How many of you have had COVID? Yeah, most of us. About a year ago, that went through our church, kind of. And most, we survived, yeah. And this was a close call. But God answered prayer. He did. And we're sorry for those that have lost loved ones and our great hope regarding our future meeting them and being with them forever. Wow. Amazing. Okay. Let's see, I had three things. That was one. Number two is, I think we'll go to Mark 5 in our text today. Love. Love. Loving Jesus, the person. Loving Jesus. I said this morning that I took 4 hours yesterday and just sat and read the Gospel of Mark. And this story touched my heart. And my first thought in reading the Gospel was the love that God has for us, that He would come and be a man, walk amongst us, and be so kind, and be so human, and be so gracious, and so wise, and to touch our lives. Not everybody's life is touched. When Jesus comes, He may walk past you, but He loves you. He is after you. He will save you. I was on the Eastern Shore and on Friday, and I talked to a man outside a restaurant at a picnic table and wanted to just spend some time with him. I didn't know him, and he was listening, and he said he had just gotten out of rehab, that his older brother had died last March, and it touched him very much. He lost his brother, who used to get him ready in the morning, dress him for school while he was still asleep as a kid. But he said, my big brother was like my dad, and I lost him. And so I shared with him, gave him my phone number. I text him. I'm encouraging him. I don't know what will touch him. I do not know what will change his life. I'll probably never see him again. But this is the way we live. Jesus is here. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He is love. God is love. God loves people. So do I. So do you. We love people. To be honest, sometimes I don't. I don't love people. I don't care about them. I read a story about a building that had collapsed on some people, and there was a guy on the outside, and he was indifferent to it. And people hurried to dig people out of the rubble, and he didn't care. And then a woman came to him and said, Bill, your brother is in there. And that totally changed. He just took his coat off, and he went digging and digging and digging. My brother's in there. As should we care about people that are around us? I don't care. Yes, you do care. God cares. A drug addict, a homeless person, university student, arrogant person you work with, Somebody at the hospital, somebody at the police station, somebody on the street, somebody you don't know. Oh, no, no. Jesus is here. You see, Jesus is here. That's the key. Jesus, not you and me, but Jesus is here. Jesus saves. Jesus changes people. Jesus does the work. Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. God cares. God saves. God changes people. Jesus is here. So here's the first point. God loves you and you love God. What's the first commandment? When you turn to your neighbor and tell them the first commandment, talk to your neighbor for a second. What's the key word? Love. 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 Love of many will wax cold. Love of many will wax cold. We will be selfish, but not you, not me. Well, yes, but no, because God is love. Love. Love your. Love God with all your heart, mind. Oh, the mind? The mind. What's my mind feeding on? What am I thinking about? What am I reading? What am I watching? Like, learn to shut it down. Learn to turn it off. Learn not to follow the advertisement. Learn to stay away from it. Learn to deny yourself. Learn to live in the Spirit, walk by faith. I'm not doing that because I live by faith. I'm not doing that because I'm living by faith. This is a new way of life. This is a life with Jesus. Good to have Pastor Dan Lightsey here and Sandy. Pastor Dan, we love you. We love you and Sandy very much. Okay, go to the text now, Mark 5. And verse 1, they came over onto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. When he was come out of the ship, who came out of the ship? Jesus. Oh, they came across, it's about 4 miles from this side to that side. They come across to that area over there, and he gets out of the ship. I can see it. And immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. You never know what you might meet in a day. You never know that you and I might meet a man with an unclean spirit. You and I standing in line, you and I at a coffee shop, you and I on the street, it might be there would be somebody with an unclean spirit. Jesus came there, and there's the man that is living in the tombs, and of course, cemetery is an unclean place for a Jew. But Jesus could go anywhere he wanted. Because he is God. He made the cemetery, made the earth, he made the world, and he's over it. The wind and the sea obey him. He is able to make a difference. He is Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, on the scene, at a place with a man who identified him. Verse 3, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains. The chains had been plucked asunder by him. This man is out of his mind. He's insane. He's powerful. He's demon-possessed. Yeah, nobody can control him. And then the chains have been plucked, the fetters broken. No man could tame him. Wonder if that's happening in the world today. Wonder if there's some unsolved problem. There's something beyond our powers. There's something way beyond our ability. There's something beyond psychology and prison internment and beyond money and beyond people and beyond family. I wonder if there's something in this world that is totally beyond us, but it's not beyond Jesus. You know, in history, there have been terrible times in the history of our country where evil things have happened. But then after, there was revival. There have been many times when in history there's an evil thing or evil king or a war or something evil that happens, and then there's a revival. Don't be afraid of the day you live in. We are above it. We are empowered by God. We are anointed of God. We have the mind of God. We have the spirit of God. We have prayers that move mountains, that change people. We have Christ. Christ is teaching us something here. Now notice, I want you to look up on the screen here. There's four groups. There's Jesus. There's the disciples. There's the demoniac, and then there's the general population, the people there watching the pigs. This is before the miracle, and this is after the miracle. Keep your eye on this. What's going to happen? Before and after. Look at chapter 5, verse. Where were we? Verse 5. In all ways, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Can you feel it? Do you see it? A man wasted, man's life destroyed. Man's life, no relations with people, suffering, tormented day and night, doing the abnormal with supernatural strength, cutting himself and suffering, crying with loud voices. Verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. How come? Demons know us. Demons know us. Did you hear that? Demons know us. If we have the Holy Spirit, we belong to God. If we are anointed of God, there's a spiritual authority, spiritual reality that they discern it. They recognize it. Who is that? Who is that? I know. Who is that? Isn't that amazing? The demons said in Acts 19, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Like you're nothing. But I know Jesus and I know Paul. And this means that your life with God is a gift. It's from God. You have the Spirit of God. You have the mind of God. You have Christ in you. And the demons know the church. They know the church. That's why they are against it. They know the gospel. They know what it is when we are preaching with an anointing. They know that we have a different kind of assembly. That's not a rock and roll concert. That's their assembly. This is ours. This is where we get fed. This is where we understand things more clearly. This is where our Heavenly Father speaks to us. This is where we have authority over demonic power. This is where somebody could be healed. If somebody's life can be changed, this is different. And so in the story, the man sees Jesus, runs to him, falls down, and worships him. But do demons worship God? No, they don't worship God. But they know. This is something to show us. Yeah, to show us that they cannot help but recognize it and the reality of it. And this man went down before Christ and recognized who he was. Read that with me, please. It says, "And cried with a loud voice," verse 7, "What have I to do with you, Jesus?" Number one, "What do I have to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that you torment me not." Another text, well, another encounter, the demonized man said, Mark chapter 1, "Leave me alone. What do I have to do with you? Did you come to torment me before my time?" This is real. This is spiritual. By the way, you see the advertisements at the holiday season. There's Halloween and all those crazy movies and everything. I would not sit one second. I have no interest in demonic activity. You are to be wise concerning good and simple concerning evil. You are never to go to a seance, never go to a palm reader, never go to a psychic person. They have nothing to do with any demonic activity. It is forbidden. You might bring a demon home with you. You might heap upon yourself trouble. You have nothing to do with it. And this man is saying, "I don't have anything to do with you, Jesus. I have nothing to do with you." And we say, "Amen." You don't have anything to do with him. You are of another kingdom. You have another mind. You are evil. You are destructive. You have nothing to do with us, and we got nothing to do with you. There's a big chasm between us. And you are not to entertain any of that stuff. Okay. So, what happens here? It says, Jesus said in verse 8, he said unto him, "Come out of the man." Come out of him. Why did Jesus say, "Come out of the man"? Because Jesus loves that man. That's why. Why did he say that? Because Jesus came to seek and to save, to give liberty to those that are bound. Because Jesus wants that man free. Because Jesus has more power than Satan. That's why. Do you remember that funny story Pastor Jagir told up in Maine? I'll repeat it. He was in a prison cell with a murderer. The man was a Satan worshiper. And the man was arrogant and a Satan worshiper. And he said, "My God is stronger than your God." Pastor Jagir said, "Oh, really? Repeat that, please." "Yeah, my God is God. He's stronger than your God." And Pastor Jagir said, "No, he isn't." And he said, "Yes, he is. My God is Satan. And Satan is stronger than your God." And so Pastor Jagir said, "All right, let's put it to the test." And the guy said, "Okay." So Pastor Jagir called the guard. And he said, "Open the door." The guard opened the door. He stepped out. The guard shut the door. And Pastor Jagir said, "Now it's your turn." "My God got me out of your jail cell. Your God can't do that." Seriously, it's a real thing. We are built up in God. We are worshipers of God. And know the treasures that are in him. Colossians 2:3. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Don't worry about the material things. And stay away from covetousness and sensuality and sexual lust. And don't feed that. You have a sin nature, but your sin nature is not a blessing for you. Your sin nature takes you down and narrows your world with guilt and shame and fear. Your sin nature reduces your life to you. But by faith, we come by faith. We live by faith and repent of those demonic things and sinful things that are the rudiments of our flesh and of the world. Live by faith. And the devil will know your name. So, what did Jesus say to the man? Come out of him. Come out of the man, he said to the demons. And there were, the demons called Legion, which is the word for the military group, the battalion or the group of men that was 6,000 in number. That's why many Bible teachers say that this man had 6,000 demons in him. That's incredible. He was absolutely blinded and under the influence of these powers. And he said, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. So there we have one spirit mentioned, unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is your name? He answered, my name is Legion, for we are many. He besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh under the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. I wonder how demons think. They are spirits, so they don't have bodies. And to be in our world, you need to have a body. Of course, you can do your activity in a spiritual realm, but to have a body would be a blessing, human, demonically speaking. Okay, I have a human being that I can use. I can use his hands. I can have him make a phone call. I can use his hands to have a weapon. I can kill somebody. I have a body. If I had an animal body, I could live in an animal body, and I could cause trouble by being in an animal, a demon. A demon would love to express itself, of course, and the higher ranking the human being is, the more devastating the demon can have its effect, its influence. To be an Adolf Hitler was a huge, big game changer. The demonic world did so much evil work, destroying the lives of millions of people, literally a whole generation of German people, whole generation of European people, a huge devastating power that was done by evil in a man, in a man. Now they are living in this man who is not of that status, but he is living there causing havoc in the countryside there. And then I want to get going here and just say a few things. Verse 12, all the devils besought him, send us into the swine that we may enter in it, into them. Would we go to hell? Would we go to hell? Apparently not. And if we were to be God's advisor, we would say, Lord, the world is better without them. Send them to hell. But he didn't. It's not their time. The demons are allowed to be in this world. They are used to train us. They do evil in the world, but God has allowed for the evil to be here. It's part of our training. It's part of his purpose, to fulfill his purposes. He uses evil as a tool. He allows it. You are not to be part of the evil. You are not to be submitted to it. You are not to be a part of it. You and I are to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. We're to have authority over and put him under our feet, for he is under Christ's feet. But Jesus accommodated their request, send us into the swine. Maybe there wasn't any human being around in the area that would qualify in God's mind. But the pigs, which were unclean animals anyway to a Jew, the pigs, they could go into the pigs, so they did. They ran down the slope into the sea. Pig suicide. It does sound funny, but it's sad. It's sad that a demon could drive a man to suicide. A man to the abnormal, to the absurd, to the wicked. Cross-dressing, homosexuality, this transgender stuff, it's demonic. It's demons doing that which is not normal. A man killing his mother or a child. This is not correct. This is contrary to natural law that is in the heart of man. Demons are active in this world, and they are doing many evil things. And even taking whole groups of people into error, into deception, into that which is wrong. This is happening in this picture. So the demons, the pigs run down. Let's see. Verse 13. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. The unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. You know, this fat does float. Fat does float. If these pigs, when they drowned, did they float? Can you imagine? Where did they go? What did they? Did they sink right away? Possibly. They were gone. That fed. The swine fled. Told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in the right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. So let's look at our screen here for a second. Jesus, before the miracle and after, who was Jesus after the miracle? I'm sure Jesus was thankful to his Father, obedient, calm, understood it, dealt with the evil. It's done. It's finished. Well, Jesus, what about the pigs and the lost that way? Nothing to me. Means nothing to me. It's not the point. The man's soul, the man's life. A man is more valuable than 2,000 pigs. A man's life, he can go back home to his wife and children. A man's life transformed. He can become a minister, a messenger. Okay? Like Jesus, what would he say after? And when they said, leave us, Jesus, depart from us. It may be like the worst prayer in the Bible. Leave us, Jesus, go away from us. You're nothing but trouble. Wherever you go, or when you come to us, it means trouble. Leave us. Do you understand how that could happen? I do. And Jesus humbly, quietly leaves. Of course he does. Learn of me, I am meek and lowly. I didn't come to, you don't understand how I operate. I could call 10,000 angels, didn't he say that to Pilate? I am the king of the Jews, but I'm not using that authority now. I am coming as a servant. I delivered this man, and this is my mission. But Lord, isn't there like fallout, or what's the word for that? The consequences, or what's the collateral damage? That's it. Collateral damage of your miracle. Yeah, there is. Right, you got to figure that out. I'm not going to explain myself. Will there be collateral damage if you're a disciple? Yeah, my family might get upset. I might lose some money. I could lose a house or a job or my career. It could be. There's collateral damage if I follow Jesus and walk with Jesus and trust in Jesus. It could be. And Jesus, what do you have to say to that? Oh, I can give you much more. I can give you 100-fold. There's no man that has left house and family that did not receive from me 100-fold. I got it covered. I got you. I got you covered. You have high priority for me, and I'm going to take care of you. The second group are the disciples, which I'm sure saw it all happen, and they're like looking at each other. And when they leave the shore, they climb into the boat. They get into the boat, and they're probably looking at each other. And they listen to the man, and that's this man here, the third one. This man is in his right mind and wants to follow Jesus. I could see them standing in like ankle-deep water at the shoreline, and the man is there too who has been healed, and he wants to get in the boat and go with them, maybe, or the shore, however it was, but anyway, the man is like making the intention, and he's saying to Jesus, can I go with you and follow you? And Jesus is saying, no, go back and tell them what I've done for you. This man, this is the point of the story. This is our target. This is what we're looking for. The rest is, you know, the general population goes this way. They began to pray to depart out of the coast, verse 17. When he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Yes, maybe they were standing, and Jesus is in the ship. Out in, you know, like 10 inches of water, something like that, 2 feet of water, and he wants to come. And Jesus said, go home to your friends. Wow. Does he have any friends? He has friends. I'm sure when he goes home, the kids and the friends, the chatter, they see him coming. And their first reaction is, hide, get away from him. He's out of his mind. Hide from him. No, he's changed. It takes an afternoon. It takes a while, an hour. It takes a while to be with him, to realize he has changed. He is different. Maybe a minute. His eye is clear. His words are clear. His heart is seen. His quietness is there. His satisfaction is there. His general state of being is healthy. The man has changed. How could he become that person? But by Jesus Christ coming into the world to do this and to change people, to save us, to forgive us, to give us the Spirit, to renew our heart and mind, to give us a direction, and to have wisdom and love in our life. We never had it before, but he gives it to us. The last part here, verse 19. Go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and has had compassion on thee. And he departed, began to publish it in Decapolis. I've been there in the Decapolis, the ruins of the Decapolis, right there south of the Sea of Galilee in the Jordan Valley. The Romans built, there were 10 different like suburbs. They knitted them all together. And so it's a city of 10. And there's the cordon, the pillars, the Roman pillars along the ruins. You could see the granite or granite stone tables where they would sell things. And I could see this man when we were there in Israel. I just thought of him coming from the Sea of Galilee, coming down and coming to that highly populated area and telling everybody what had happened to him. And I could see Jesus going on the boat back across the Sea of Galilee and how the people are saying, go away from us, go away from us. And that's how it is today too. The world is saying, we don't need you. The United States of America, we don't need you. We don't need God. We don't need the church. We don't need the Bible. We don't need preachers. Get out of here. We don't need you. Go away. That's okay, because we understand this. That's how it is. But God did his work. God has a testimony. We may not be on CNN, but I can be in Rosedale. I might not be on Fox News, but I can be in Glen Burnie. I can be in a pool hall in Glen Burnie talking to some kid and saying Jesus is the answer. The world will say, leave us alone, but there'll be somebody sitting in their rightful mind saying, I am so glad that Jesus came into my life. I'm so thankful for the guys that get on the motorcycles, like with Pastor Butch and the group, and they go out and share all day. They share the message. I'm so glad for us that are learning how to talk, learning how to live by faith, learning how to share our faith. And I'm so glad that God does things. He brings somebody to the church and their lives are changed. I love it. It's awesome. It's what we are here for. So on the general population didn't know what was going on before, and it seems like after, but eventually, they caught on. And it says in the Gospel of Luke, I believe, that Jesus came back later, and it said they were waiting for him. They were waiting for him. They wanted him to come back. They were waiting for him. I remember going to a door in the neighborhood, knocking on the door, no, leave us alone, go away, get off my porch. I don't want what you're talking about. Okay, thank you. Some months later, go back to the same door. I've been waiting for you. I was hoping you would come back. It happened to me. I remember Lena Bridges. Is Lena here? Yeah, Lena's Bridges' sister, I know. I knocked on her door in Helsinki, Finland, and we had a short talk. And 3 weeks later, I went back, and Aino said, where have you been? I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you, her sister. Beautiful. Don't underestimate the value of your words, of your faith, of your prayers, and of your life. The world we live in needs us. They don't know it, but they need us. They need our love, our motivation. They need our care. They need the Sunday school. that children need instruction. By the way, if you're a parent, make sure your kids get training and education. Your kids, not just when they're 8 years old, but when they're 18 years old, they need to be sitting in here and being instructed and guided and led because God speaks to their hearts. Amen. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, you've heard our prayers, and Pastor Dan is here with us today because of you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. You have sent us into the world. We are here with our stammering lips and our halting walk. But we live by faith and we overcome the world by faith. We overcome our sin nature by faith. We overcome by faith in the cross. We overcome the devil by faith. And we are a mighty people and he knows that. He knows that. He would like us to stay away from faith, stay away from the word of faith. He'd like us to shrivel up in our discouragement and hide and surrender in our fears. And he wants us just to be human and not live by faith. We are human, but we are spirit-filled human beings. We are spirit-filled, called by your name. We are honored. Bless these thoughts to our hearts all day. Bless us tonight and through the week. And lead us in our calling and our purpose. Everyone here has a purpose and a calling. Yes, Lord. And Pastor Dan Sergione is not done. He's not done. Is he done? No, he's not done. Pastor Dan Lights, he's not done. No, he's not done. We're not done. Here we are. Thank you. Maybe somebody has not believed in Christ yet. Put your trust in him. Maybe you believe, but you haven't acted on it. It's just a mental game. But you say now in your heart, Lord, I walk the aisle with you. I tie the knot. I believe. I'm trusting. I'm confessing to you I am a sinner. I need your grace to save me. And fill me with your spirit and teach me. In Jesus' name. Anyone saying the prayer, just raise your hand. Anyone at all? The audience, yes to Jesus. Anybody? Yes, anyone. Okay. Amen. Amen. God bless you.